I am Plant on the Line. This is the commentary.ca. We continue looking at the provincial referendum campaign now for the second time. We will be voting on whether to do away with the current electoral system, first past the post, for a single transferable vote proposal. Joining me now is Bruce Hulser, a spokesman for the British Columbians for BCSTV organization. He is past president of Fair Voting BC and a founding member and former vice president of Fair Vote Canada. He's a lawyer at BC's oldest firm, Crease Harmon and Company in Victoria. He is a riding president for the BC Liberal Party and was co-chair of the BC campaign for the Federal Conservative Party in 2005-06. He'll explain the voting system and why STV should be implemented. The proposal has a threshold of 60% to pass. The website for more information is stv.ca. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Bruce Hulser. Good morning, Mr. Hulser.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, Vaughn Palmer was on the program last week, or a week or so ago, and it was his sense that the appetite for electoral reform has died down in the last 4 years. His contention is that after the 01 and 1996 elections, we wanted change. We wanted something representative. But in 05, we got pretty much what we wanted, and that now there's no desire for change. Is that observation accurate?
You know, I think his view is typical of a lot of sort of elite political observers who still think that what the Citizens Assembly did was all about proportionality and all about fair election results. And it partly was about that. But there was another reason why the Citizens Assembly chose STV, and that was to provide accountability for MLAs. You know, everybody expected the Citizens Assembly to have this great debate about proportionality versus local representation, and they thought if they recommended anything, it would be some sort of PR system with a list. But when Assembly members went around and talked to British Columbians in public hearings around the province, they didn't find that ordinary voters were all that concerned about fairness for political parties. What they're concerned about is fairness for voters, and I don't think that's changed at all, just because the last election was slightly less skewed in its result than the previous two. You know, what voters say to Assembly members, and they say it all the time, is we elect MLAs who we think are going to represent us, and they don't. Our MLAs are people who represent our party, their party's views to us, and that's how the system works right now in single-member ridings. That's a huge frustration for people. I'm sure you've heard it a million times, as have I, over 30 years, and we've all heard politicians get elected saying, well, we're going to have a less partisan legislature, we're going to have more free votes, we're going to use the whip less, and we're going to have more committees and all these sort of innovations in the legislature that are going to change things. None of them ever work. They don't work because politicians respond naturally to the incentives that are given to them. And in single-member ridings, the incentive is to represent your party, to be your party's nominee, and it will naturally follow that you will get elected.
Well, what I don't see how you'll have to explain to us how STV gives the voter fairness. I mean, if you have multi-member ridings, let's say you have three MLAs in your riding, and they're all from the same party, how does that give us better representation, I guess?
Well, it's very unlikely that you would have a three-member riding where all the members would be from the same party. You get much more proportionality in STV. In a three-member riding, if half the voters support one party and half support another, each party is going to have enough votes to elect at least one of the three members, and that third seat will be up for grabs. So the situation that you can have now, where you can have, you know, seven ridings and one party wins all seven by 100 votes in each riding, and they are seen to represent the entire region when really the votes are roughly 50-50, can't happen under STV. In a seven-member STV riding, you're going to get where the voters are roughly divided half and half. You're going to get each major party is going to probably get three members, and that seventh seat will be up for grabs, or it could go to an independent or a third party. So that's where you get your fairness for the voters. Voters will be represented by people from multiple parties. But what really gives you the accountability is that, let's say you are an NDP voter or you're a BC Liberal voter right now, and you decide you want to vote for your party because that's how most people feel. They want to vote for the party. The local candidate tends to be very secondary, and local candidates know that. their job is, in a single-member riding, to become the nominee for their party and to tout their party's platform and hope their party's popular enough to deliver them the seat. In STV, it's no longer good enough to be the Liberal nominee or the NDP nominee. You will have to compete on the ballot against other Liberals and other New Democrats. Some Liberal nominees will become the MLA and some won't. And some New Democrat nominees will get enough votes to become the MLA and some won't. And as an NDP voter who wants to vote for a New Democrat, you're not stuck with whichever single person the party nominated. You're going to have several New Democrats to choose from, and the voters will pick which New Democrat goes to Victoria and which one doesn't. And BC Liberal voters will choose which BC Liberal voter goes to Victoria and which one doesn't. And so the personal characteristics of MLAs will become more important. And when MLAs are sitting and they want to seek re-election, they're going to have to work hard to get a reputation for standing up for their community. It will no longer be good enough for them to simply vote as they're told, even on issues that are unpopular in their riding. They're going to have to distinguish themselves because they're going to want to be the number one choice of New Democrats or Liberals, not the number four choice.
So you're suggesting that the parties then will become irrelevant?
Not at all. People will still belong to political parties, and parties play a very important role. But you have to have some balance, and we have none of that right now. We have the most centralized, leadership-controlled parties, really, in the democratic world. When's the last time you heard of an MLA who voted against their party? Why does every single issue have to be an issue of confidence? Sometimes there are issues that aren't ideological, where the parties didn't mention anything about it in their platform, and yet the leaders still control the debate instead of MLAs. And right now, if you're an MLA and your constituents come to you en masse and tell you, we have these strong concerns, but your party leader doesn't share those concerns, you essentially have no choice. You have to tell your constituents, you're wrong, my party leader says this, and you have to sell your party leader's view to your constituents. That's the reverse of what people expect their MLAs to do. And it's not going to happen in every instance under STV, but at least there will be some pressure from constituents that they can put on their MLAs under STV, whereas right now there is none.
Well, will we see more minority government under STV?
Yes, we will. There's no question about it. In the current system, the seats in the legislature do not bear any real relationship to the popular vote whatsoever. And the reality is that a party in our system now that gets about 40% of the popular vote will traditionally get about a 20% bonus in seats and hold 60% of the seats. In STV, the winning party usually gets about a 5% bonus. So in an election where a party gets 45% or more, we will probably see a majority government. In an election where the top party gets only 39%, we'll see a minority government, and parties will have to adjust to that reality.
Now, is there a guarantee that STV will change voter habits, that we'll see greater participation?
Well, there's no guarantees in life, and there's certainly no guarantees in politics. But I can tell you this, I think we all agree that we are in a tremendous negative cycle right now in British Columbia and in Canada, of declining voter interest in electoral politics, declining participation. Voter participation is really bad, but it's even worse among young people, who are, I think, less than 30% of young people voted in the last election. And in some cases, you can't blame them. If you live in a safe seat, which most of us do, you're told on election day who's going to win. But whether you support that person or not, your vote really doesn't count for very much. When you support a smaller party, you're told right now that it's a waste of your vote to vote for the person you want to support, because they have no chance. And maybe you will go to the polls, and maybe you'll decide to vote for somebody you don't like to stop somebody else who you really don't like. But that, you know, I think that turns a lot of young people off, and that encourages that whole strategic voting argument, just encourages more negativity, more negative campaign by the big political parties. We're in a downward spiral, and I'd like to think that STV gives us a chance of breaking out of that by giving people a meaningful reason to go and participate in elections. You can vote under STV for somebody whom you may not have a good chance of winning, knowing that your vote can transfer to your second preference. You don't have to make those kind of trade-offs anymore. You can go in a riding and not worry about wasting your vote, because there is no more safe seat in STV. all seats will be up for grabs, and most voters will vote for somebody who can represent them.
What about rural ridings? There's a lot of talk that rural ridings will get underrepresented because they're so big.
Well, we'll have the exact same number of MLAs from rural BC under STB than we have under the current system. So there'll be no change in overall representation of any region of the province. Every region will elect the same number of MLAs. What will change is, you know, Prince Rupert, which right now is a safe NDP seat and hasn't had a government MLA recently, will be part of a three-member Northwest seat. And Prince Rupert will always have a government MLA, and it'll always have an opposition MLA. And they won't have to have their city council hire a lobbying firm to try and get changes in government like some municipalities have to do now that are in opposition-held ridings. People won't ever be blackmailed by the party that's leading in the polls, running around the interior saying, you have to vote for us because you need somebody in government. That won't be an argument that anybody can use under STV, and voters will be able to express their true preferences and not be blackmailed.
Now, you were involved in the campaign 4 years ago. Is it easier this time around?
I think it is. I think, you know, we would love to see more public education. We would have loved to have seen more resources put into to people learning about STV, but I think I get the sense there's much more awareness of what STV is this time than there was last time. Last time it was sprung on people without much time, and there's been a little bit more lead time this time, and there's been a little more resources for both sides of the debate to get out there and do some advertising and have some more meetings. So I'm encouraged by that. Most polls show that when people learn about STV and First Past the Post, they overwhelmingly prefer STV. People are generally dissatisfied with the way politics works in the province now and see STV as a positive change. It also shows that when people don't know anything about STV, they're more likely to vote against it, which is pretty natural. So I'm encouraged by the sharp uptake in people's awareness of the referendum and awareness of the system, and I hope we'll see a repeat of last time where a majority of British Columbians support it, and hope we'll see an extra couple percent, of course.
Yeah. Now, did you think the threshold is too high, 60%?
Well, we've never had a referendum in Canada before these STV referendums where we've had that kind of an artificially high threshold. All the major political parties a few years ago thought it would be perfectly fine to radically change our constitution in the Charlottetown Accord on the basis of 50%, and everybody seems to have accepted that Quebec can separate on the basis of 50%, but for some reason, tinkering with the electoral system requires a supermajority. You can call me cynical about this, but I think that politicians and established political parties don't want to see the change, and that's why we have this high threshold. It's essentially undemocratic. I mean, we're operating an election now under an electoral system that was decisively rejected by voters last time. I hope that doesn't happen again. I hope that we get the 60% and we get the change British Columbians have already voted for.
See, what worries me is that you get 58-59% this time around. And, you know, I mean, what happens now? Do we vote again 4 years from now?
Well, why don't we talk about that after May 12th?
That's right. See,
now I'm trying to get the 60% and end that problem.
Well, what happens if STV doesn't pass on the 12th? Does that mean electoral reform ends?
There's no legal mechanism to continue it. If it doesn't, it'll be like it was before. There will certainly be groups of people like Fair Voting BC arguing for electoral reform, and we'll have to see. I doubt the issue is going to go away if 58% of British Columbians voted for it twice, but I also highly doubt that either of the major political parties are going to do much about it.
In your view, from looking at the other jurisdictions where they have STV, is there a lot of confusion over the marking of ballots, spoiled ballots? There are lots of those?
You know, the percentage of ballots that are spoiled in Ireland, which is the only one where I've looked at the statistic, is virtually identical to the percentage of spoiled ballots now in British Columbia. So I don't think there's any big difference. You know, most voters say that they're familiar with First Past the Post, but don't necessarily understand all the workings of First Past the Post either. You know, ask the average person on the street to explain how you can have an election and one party can get 39% of the vote, and one party can get 42% of the vote, and the guys with 39% can form a majority government. I'm sure you understand how that works, and we can explain it in a minute on a with a chalkboard, but most voters don't inherently understand that. Voters in countries that use STV, they become familiar with the system, and they have no problem with it. And I think British Columbians are as smart as any people around the world, and they're going to be fine with STV once they use it.
Now, your view of the no side, you mentioned earlier that it seemed that people that were against us were members of established parties and the sort. Is that the same this time around with the no side, do you think?
Well, you know, our campaign on the STV side is thousands of ordinary British Columbians with community groups in every part of the province. The no campaign is basically a dozen people who have all worked at some point in their lives in the legislature or held some kind of elected office. So you can draw what conclusions you want from that. But, you know, I have to say, if I was an MLA in a safe seat with either party, knowing that in my safe seat I can just go back and get reelected time after time without much of a fight, I might not be that attracted by the possibility that all of a sudden I'd be in a larger seat that would no longer be safe, where I'd actually have to work to earn my position in every election. So I can understand why some insiders aren't personally attracted to the system. But I can tell you, in Ireland, the two big parties there don't like it either. And twice they've had referendums to try and get rid of STV and return to first past the post. Both times the voters have rejected it, because I think voters see that there is an inherent unfairness. Voters who are stuck in single-member ridings in safe seats are frustrated because their votes really don't count.
Bruce, I appreciate your time today, and continued good luck with the rest of the campaign.
Okay, thanks for talking to me.
The website for more is stv.ca, whatever your preference. Do not forget to vote on May 12th. Bruce Hulse are on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.